The longest-running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Welcome to this week's General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. That's right, General Tire stepping it up along with Polaris Razor to bring you the best motorsports content in the country in 2020. And we are, episode number two into the new year, and I do have to say we got some massive, massive news coming in regards to the show. Starting in February, we're going to have some massive changes. Before then, you're probably going to hear some sprinkles of some new sound beds and intros and outros representing our new partner. We got a lot of new partners on board, so lots of good stuff to come in the month of January from the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. After 8 years, we got to switch things up, right? We got to keep bringing you the biggest, best content in all of motorsports, and that is the plan. Today, though, shifting gears, we're going to do something a little bit different. You know, we're kind of easing our way into the motorsports season this year, it seems like, but then all of a sudden this week it comes boom, bam, full force. We got Dakar Rally, we got Supercross, we have the Best in the Desert Parker 250. I mean, Daytona is out there, 24 hours of Daytona, Daytona 500. We got NHRA, we got a lot of stuff coming in the pipeline in the next few weeks. But today we're going to kind of assess the situation. Where are we in 2020 in regards to motorsports? We've got my good friend Chris Leone, media director at the Down and Dirty Show. He's going to be on. We are going to do our first power rankings of the year this week on the show. And then I'm going to have my good friend Rob D'Amico. You know him from Fox Sports, had one of the biggest motorsports shows in the country. He kind of retired from national radio, but he's come back into the podcasting world. And he's going to start doing a segment on the show where we talk all things mainstream motorsports as well. So Rob D'Amico on the show today as well in hour number two. And then we've got a good friend of mine. She is a shredder. She former UTV racer and mod cart kid, shifted gears. Now she's one of the top-ranked female drifters in the world in Formula D Pro 2, Amanda Sorensen. She is going to be on the show as well. So we are slam-packed today, episode number two of 2020. I can't wait to get things underway here shortly. And before we do that, though, we got to take a short commercial break here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Ford WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, Ford WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to Ford WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at FordWP.com.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
All right, now officially kicking things off on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And, you know, I just got done with the Best in the Desert Parker 250. Great to get back behind the wheel of my UTV. I got King of the Hammers coming up in a couple of weeks. We got I don't even know how to explain it, man, but my boy James Hill at IMG Motorsports, I got to give him a shout-out because he is working miracles to give me a car in time for Hammers. I have no idea what is in store for me when I get out there to KOH, but I got to tell you, it's probably going to be a hell of a good time, that's for sure. You know, I've been in the rocks a little bit, doing some pre-running. We're definitely, I think we're going to have our work cut out for us, but, year number one, it's just getting to the finish line. That's all we care about, trying to get to that finish line. So, so that's coming up. We got Parker 425 in my hometown this week as well, or this coming week as well. So we'll be hanging out doing that. Probably hanging out with my good friends at Vision Wheel and our partner here, doing some trying to sling some wheels to the off road community. But you know, all that kind of coming up in the next few weeks. But this episode's really going to be about forward looking in 2020, what to expect in the weeks and months to come. We got a lot of changes going on, and we'll probably be doing that the next couple of weeks, just kind of forward looking because we don't have, you know, IndyCar, we don't have NASCAR, we don't have, we don't do a lot of NASCAR coverage, probably a little bit more this year, but, we don't have those major motorsports Formula One, and we don't do a ton of talk on that either. It's more action motorsports, but even that, Formula D, Rally, we don't even have Snowdrift Rally coming up yet. I mean, obviously off-road, no short course yet. It's just pretty much off-road is the only thing that we've got to talk about. So we're going to talk a ton of that. Dakar Rally, I mean, what more can you say? That's one of the globe's most marquee motorsports events. It just wrapped up, and two Americans. We finally broke through the barrier. We had not just one American take the first ever in class victory at Dakar. We had two. Yes, Ricky Brabec and Casey Curry. Both taking victories at the Dakar Rally on two wheels and M4. Casey Curry in the side-by-side division. They call it something else there. SV, I don't know, something crazy. You know, Europeans, they can't just be normal. We gotta reinvent the name of something. I don't know. Can't call it UTV or side-by-side. We're going to come up with our own name. Yeah, if you're a European listener, yes, sometimes you guys tend to overcomplicate things. On the flip side, us Americans tend to overcomplicate things as well. You know, I've always found that funny, right? Americans always go, oh, everything's in meters and kilometers an hour. And, man, why does the rest of the world have to make things complicated? I'm like, no, newsflash, man. Have you ever actually looked at the metric system? So much easier than, what do they call it, the imperial system that we're on here in the United States? Like, there's no rhyme or reason to anything. You know, 12 inches to a foot. You know, and then there's 3 foot to a yard. There's what, 5,000 something feet in a mile, or 1,000 something something feet in a, I don't know. It's like so complicated. There's no rhyme or reason. In the metric system, it's like tens, tens, tens. 10 millimeters is a centimeter. 10 centimeters is a decimeter. You know, it just goes on and on. And it's like, you know, it's so freaking easy. And, it doesn't take long to learn. And I'm like, yes. So us Americans, I say that in regards to naming and certain things in Europe. Yes, you overcomplicate it. Americans, we overcomplicate things too. We are not immune to it. I will own it. I am saying it right here on the show. Yes, we overcomplicate things too. So don't think I'm attacking you. I'll attack us all day long as well. I don't even know how we got on that rant, but Dakar Rally, we're going to jump into that with Chris Leone. We're going to be talking a lot of Dakar Rally and the power rankings, I'm assuming. We've got that to get to. And like I said before, man, we've got some massive, massive changes coming to this show. And it's going to be in – if you're listening online, you're listening nationally, everything is going to stay the same for you. But we're going to give you a massive option on how to listen to this show that you guys have been requesting for damn near a decade. And we're going to finally be able to deliver. I can't wait to let that news out of the bag. It is coming soon. Mark my word, you guys are going to be stoked. Absolutely stoked on it. So, it's been kind of a whirlwind. I mean, I told you guys last week I spent some time in Minnesota over the holidays hanging out with Levi LaValle and doing some snowmobiling. And then ever since then, it's just like been boots on the ground, like whirlwind. Have the Parker 250 right away. We got a solid finish out of that this past weekend, and really, really fortunate to have got a finish. I finished that a couple of years in a row now, and it's become one of one of my favorite events of the year, only because it's one, it's my hometown. I know the track well, but two, it's that perfect mix. It's that perfect mix of a sprint race and an endurance race. It's about 5-6 hours, 250 miles. And I feel like it's just that ideal mix. And, to me, that's perfect. Mint 400, it stretches a little bit too long, something like UTV World Championships, I hate that anyways, that track, but it's a little bit too short. I feel like Parker 250, perfect mix. Ended up having a problem right off the bat, man. It kind of sucked. I had a lot of people go, what happened? You had a great starting spot. Did, started 12th. We were right there, right around the top 10, about 13 miles into the race. Everybody's bunched up, and keep in mind, they go 2 every 30 seconds. So, what is that? 2 every 30. So that's 4 a minute. It's 40 cars in what, 10 minutes? Something like that. Is my math right? 40 cars in 10 minutes? Yeah. 4 every minute, 10 minutes. Yeah. 40 cars every 10 minutes, right? We blew a belt 13 miles into the race. Everybody's bunched up. Literally, like 20 something cars went by us. I think we started out like 12th. After we lost our belt and got a new one put in, we were in 38th place. So we battled back from 38th, just kind of at that point, you're fighting through dust and traffic and all kinds of stuff. And we just, got in our groove, got in a rhythm, and, we ended up finishing, I think it was 21st out of 55 entries. So, battle back a little bit, solid finish for us to start the year. I know obviously hammers and a new car, and then we'll have, the Mint 400. So, we've got a lot of, fun and new stuff coming at you guys, from my race program. Do have to say one of my favorite things that I've been able to do this year, and I'm doing a lot, and we'll talk more about that, and I know the show isn't about me, but I got a good friend. I've known the family forever, the Chapman family. Mia Chapman, she's been a guest on the show quite a bit. I've started working with her quite a bit, and I got to tell you, this girl, obviously she's she's signed with Red Bull. She's one of those prodigy type talents. But she's making a switch this year from short course to desert racing. I've been fortunate to be able to work with them and kind of coach her and just help kind of guide her. And, she went into her first desert race, Parker 250. Most, I would say 90% of people never finish their first desert race. Like legit, wad the car up, break it, rip an arm off, do something dumb to not finish their first desert race. The car just wasn't prepped right? That happens too, because you're a rookie and green. She went out and finished her very first ever desert race, and I know she probably wasn't stoked on the position. I think she finished around 20th in the NA class, and 19th, something like that. But I gotta tell you, anybody can finish their first desert race. So props goes out to my good friend Mia Chapman on her finish there. And I know she'll be racing the Mint 400 up next as well. So looking forward to seeing you know what comes out of things with her program this year. But yeah, I don't know. Is that enough Parker 250 talk? Should we take a break and get into things with the Chris Leone and Power Rankings? I don't know. I think that's probably a good idea right now. So Chris Leone, Amanda Sorensen, Rob D'Amico, we got a loaded up show today. We're going to take a short commercial break. We come back, we are going to get into things with Power Rankings and Chris Leone right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I forgot to slide that General Tire plug in there, man. I'm slipping up with this new arrangement. General Tire, Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Back after this.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZs, Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to 3 full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Kicking off our very first Power Rankings of 2020, I almost said 2019, Chris, but Chris Leone, media director for Down and Dirty Show, as well as works for iRacing, among many, many other things, Chris. But 2020, it's a new year. Everything that happened last year, scratch, erase it, donezo. I know Power Rankings today, you and I had this discussion before we went on air. We are including I guess today's results of the Dakar Rally. Normally it doesn't matter, we can record this anytime, but Dakar has wrapped when we're recording, so we're going to include the actual final results of Dakar. I don't know, it's been a crazy, I can't believe it's already over, but man, it's been going on for 2 weeks. Kind of crazy, Chris.
Jim, between Dakar updates, between eNASCAR media day with iRacing, between you running the Parker 250, I think I've done more work this month than I did in entire seasons of racing previously. It's January and I'm already ready for a vacation, ready for all the snow to melt. This ain't good. I'm going to need a nice 3-day weekend and a nap, let me tell you.
Yeah. And we've got Supercross going on. We had A1 and we've had St. Louis in the books. I know A2 is upon us this weekend. Like, Supercross is firing. I mean, we haven't even talked anything about Snowcross, but they've been going on as well, and I don't know, it's kind of crazy, but yeah, I mean, I'm already looking. We got KOH here. We got Parker 425 next week, KOH 2 weeks out, Mint 400's not far after that, another Best in the Desert race sprinkled in February. Like, I don't know, we got Daytona 24 hours, we got Chili Bowl going on. Like, Chris, I don't know, I feel like it was just Christmas, dude, but it is we are already so deep into motorsport season.
Seriously. I mean, when I was a kid, I remember growing up, and I was, you know, growing up basically as just a NASCAR fan, an IndyCar fan, because, you know, being in the Northeast, that's kind of what you knew if you knew anything. You didn't really know off-road. I mean, you know, yeah, obviously I knew F1, but basically I just kind of knew the big three and all of the traditional schedules. And I always thought December and January were the most boring times of the year. Now I'm like, I'm working harder during, you know, the winter months than I think I've ever in the summer months. There is so much going on. You just, you know, if you're a race fan who really just kind of knows those big couple of pavement series, you just got to look different places. But yeah, like you said, I mean, Supercross is already in full swing. The Chili Bowl is wrapping up on Saturday. I mean, we just got 12 stages in the Dakar and, you know, some big American names that I know are going to be on both of our lists. Yeah. Man, you know, if I didn't have a board in front of me, I'd lose track of a bunch of this stuff.
Yeah, and as we speak, we already lost track of one of the big ones that happens right at the end of King of the Hammers. NHRA Pomona, dude, we're already drag racing this year. Like, I mean, I'm like, how after all this, we're talking about everything, and I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, NHRA, we're only a few weeks out. Wow.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's, I mean, don't get me wrong, it's cool. I love the fact that, you know, we don't have too much of that off season because, you know, I know you and me, we get antsy, you know, it's like, all right, when are we racing again? When are we racing again? When are we racing again? But, you know, man, we are leading with strength, especially now. I mean, there are just so many top flight outfits, probably more than ever in just about every series. You look at a Supercross race, 9 or 10 guys can probably win it. You look at Dakar, I mean, you know, yeah, it's an event of attrition and it lasts 2 weeks. So, you know, like guys can fall off, but there are tons of competitive entries that can go win that. I mean, you know, it's so much different than it was even 5-10 years ago in terms of depth of field and everything. And we're just probably getting some of the best competition that, you know, we've ever seen in either of our lifetimes. And, you know, maybe even for years to come.
Yeah, well, and, you know, 10 years ago, you know, there was American Mark Miller, who used to race Trophy Truck. He went over there and did some stuff with corporate Volkswagen. And, you know, and there was Robbie Gordon. And, you know, those two guys, and obviously there's Darren Skilton. Can't forget about him. He went over and did some stuff. Ryan R. Sierra went over for a year. But, you know, it was kind of an outlier event. Now with social media, we've got great TV and coverage. Like, I mean, Dakar is it's at the tip of everybody's tongues. And, you know, it actually, you know, people in America take notice. They're paying attention. And I do have to give a ton of credit to Robbie Gordon. I think he helped recreate or reignite, you know, I can't even say reignite. I guess ignite the American fire for the Dakar rally. But, you know, that being said, I mean, as we roll into things, I have an honorable mention, and I don't think you're going to argue with this one, and I'm going to break it out, you know, as we get into these power rankings. But my honorable mention for the week is just the United States of America, man. Holy crap, did we go into the Dakar rally, Chris. I mean, you know, you got Casey Curry, we got Ricky Brabeck. Not only that, we got Blade Hildebrand, Mitch Guthrie Jr. Both of them took stage wins and side-by-sides. I mean, you know, for the longest time, it was, you know, can American win the Dakar rally? I got to tell you, we showed the rest of the world, hey, we're here to play. And for that reason, I just had to put as my honorable mention the United States, man, because I got to tell you, collectively, we made a statement at Dakar this year.
Certainly did, Jim. And I mean, don't even forget Skylar Housen, the motorcycle, had, you know, some amazing runs, spent a lot of time as a privateer in the top 10 of the race. So, you know, it's, I think it just proves that as a motorsports nation, if the U.S. really wants to put its mind to an event or a series or anything like that and go out and conquer it, we can do that. We haven't had, you know, quite as much luck maybe in Formula One as, you know, as we would certainly hope as American race fans. But, you know, there's no doubt in my mind that if the U.S. wants to produce a kid that's going to go to F1, then we're going to have a Formula One champion from the United States in the next 10 years. There's no doubt in my mind that, you know, somebody with the right opportunity. But, man, it's, you know, I think the U.S. was the only country to boast multiple Dakar winners this year. And that is just, you know, that is an incredible feat, you know, to go more than 40 iterations of the event, never have, you know, an overall winner as a, you know, as a driver or a rider, be an American, and then to have two of them this year. I mean, yeah, certainly something special for the U.S. and awesome for those guys to be able to bring victories home for the Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, for sure. So that being said, let's jump into things, Chris. And for those of you just tuning in, you know, power rankings is something Chris and I do every single week. We take a 1 week window and we rank the top 5 guys or women in motorsports in that 1 week window. So, yeah, so there might be somebody who is, you know, is a points leader, such and such. They might not make it onto our list because, you know, their 1 week window you know, might not be, you know, quite as good as somebody else. That being said, when there is a tiebreaker, we will start stretching into, you know, 2 weeks out or 3 weeks. Somebody's like 4 for 4 or something like that, you know, in the past month. Yeah, that may actually factor into the equation to break a tie. But by and large, we try and keep it at that 1 week window. That being said, Chris, first power rankings of 2020, who is number 5 on your list?
Well, we are heading to St. Louis for Supercross, Jim, and we are heading to that 250 West class, and Austin Faulkner taking his first win of the season, recovered from injury over the offseason, wasn't able to score a title last year because of it, which was a shame because he really was the class of that field. You know, awesome to see him return to his winning ways there. You know, over the offseason, anytime you have a rider that's just been off the bike for quite a while, I'm sure everybody kind of asks, well, how's he going to be when he gets back on? And, you know, Faulkner certainly silenced the doubters in St. Louis. You know, he's going to be the same title threat that he has always been in that class. You know, quite frankly, if not for the injury last year, I could have easily seen him as one of the guys who may have moved up for this season. So, you know, going to be a big year for him, I think. And that's why he's number 5 on my list.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to doubt Faulkner whatsoever. I think number 5 on my list might be a little bit controversial. I'm kind of anxious to see what social media says when this gets out there, and I know you'll put this on the website as well. But I am going to go to St. Louis for my number 5. But my number 5 isn't who you think it would be. I'm actually going to go with Bam Bam Barcia. Now, here's my reasoning why. Yes, he won A1. And then moving into St. Louis, I think a lot of people doubted him, you know, because last year he did the same thing. He won A1. And then, you know, he kind of fell off a little bit and things like that. But, you know, Roczen, give Roczen a lot of credit. He's back. He took a victory there. But Barcia finishing 2nd, to me, said more than Roczen winning, because Roczen is who we thought he was going to be and should be. I think Barcia doesn't get enough credit. And I think for him taking a first at A1, then coming back with a 2nd. Now, Roczen, he wasn't even anywhere near the podium at A1. I think it says more about Barcia, your points leader, finishing 2nd in St. Louis, winning at A1. I just, for some odd reason, I had to have him on my list over Roczen and even Faulkner, Chris. So, I don't know. Bam Bam Barcia, he's number 5 on my list. And, you know, I would love to hear what social media has to say once this thing hits.
Yeah, I think it's perfectly reasonable. I mean, you know, with how much was going on in the motorsports world over the past week, admittedly, I don't have Barcia in my top 5, but, you know, you're right. We saw him win last year, and we saw him kind of fall by the wayside a little bit. Wasn't really a championship threat the way that Cooper Webb was, the way that Eli Tomac was, you know, the way that those handful of guys at the real front of the field were for most of the year. But, you know, if he can keep that up, you know, he will be a threat for the championship. And I'm sure that all of the, you know, all of the fans of that team, all the fans that have stuck by Barcia as long as he has been in Supercross would love to see kind of a breakout and a strong performance in 2020.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, you know what, Chris? We are up against a time break here. We have, you and I have 4 more to get to here on our power rankings. But those are going to come up in the next segment, because we are going to take a short commercial break. We come back, Chris and I, we will have our top 4s in power rankings here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com, or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out VisionWheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, Chris Leone here. Getting to our power rankings for the first, I can't say the first week, but our first dose of power rankings in 2020. Firing things off, we had Team America, actually the United States of America, I had as my honorable mention on the week for their results in the Dakar Rally. But getting to the top five, Chris had Austin Faulkner at five. I had Bam Bam Barsha at number five. Moving on to number four on our list, best performances of the week. Chris, who do you got?
Well, Jim, I am going to head out to your hometown. I'm going to go to Parker, Arizona for the Parker 250, and I'm going to give it to Phil Blurton. Ended 2019 on a low note with a DNF, and that enabled Mitch Guthrie Jr. to swoop in and be able to take the UTV Turbo title out in Best in the Desert. But, you know, Phil Blurton returning to his winning ways in Parker was certainly one of the storylines of the past week for me. You know, it's so hard to win. And I know that you know this firsthand, obviously competing in that class, but it is so hard to win anything in UTV Turbo because there are so many quality entries out there. And I mean, you see race fields with anywhere from 50 to 100 entries showing up and doing their thing and going out there. And it's so hard to be at the front of the field. It's so hard to crack the podium. It's so hard to even finish sometimes. So, you know, to have won three in a row the previous year, but then have to end the year on the low note in Laughlin, you know, it becomes something where, I don't know, you've got to get back on the horse. And Phil Blurton was able to do that, takes the victory. So I've got Phil at number four.
Well, you know what, Chris? I'm going to go to the Parker 250, and I'm also going to roll with Phil Blurton there at number four. So you and I, we are on the same on that vote. And like you said, I mean, Phil has become one of the marquee guys in the class, you know, along with Mitch Guthrie and various others. But great performance there. I got to tell you, me actually racing in that race, the third lap was just hell on earth. It was bad. It was rocky, rugged. It was a disaster. It looked like some crazy lunar landscape. I mean, it was just, it was gnarly. And, you know, we do part of that last lap at dark. So, you know, and like you said, I race in that class. And, you know, thing to keep in mind with UTV Turbo, and you'll see it pop up on our list from time to time this year, you know, we're pulling 60 entries at an event. You know, think about that, 60 entries. You imagine if there's 60 NASCARs in an event. I mean, somebody takes a top 20 in NASCAR and there's 40 entries and everybody goes, oh, they had a good run, they were in the top 20, top 15, really good run, right? if you finish the top 20 in UTV, people don't really seem to consider it a big deal. I consider it a big deal because, look, you know, we've got 60-some entries. I mean, that's crazy. You know, that's the equivalent of like a 12th place finish in, you know, in NASCAR or something like that. And I think when you put it into perspective, it really puts value to the finishing positions in UTV Turbo and even more value to a win in UTV Turbo. You know, there's 20 guys that can potentially, and females, take a win in UTV Turbo, you know? And so to me, it's, you know, what Phil's been able to accomplish is, you know, nothing short of absolutely remarkable in the class. And, you know, he's definitely a legit number four on my list. But I think, you know, as we've probably have some first-time listeners, you know, to the show this week, I mean, just know when Chris and I rank these UTV Turbo competitors on our list and we're comparing them with Trophy Truck guys and NASCAR guys, those victories are very, very hard to come by. And so I think Chris and I, we value those and we value the competition in the class. And that's why you're going to see them on our list and maybe some other performances in off-road that maybe finished higher in the overall, not quite even cracking our list. And we're going to side with just the sheer talent and, you know, and I guess, you know, sheer amount of entries in the class. So both of us at Blurton at number four. Which makes me wonder if our top three are going to all be the same, Chris, or that our ordering are at least going to be the same. You know, I think we're probably both going to shift some gears and head towards Dakar at some point. But who do you have at number three, Chris?
Yeah, precisely, Jim. And, you know, also I'd like to add, obviously, we've put together a Desert Power Rankings formula that we're kind of going to use during the season just to rank some of the off-road performances head-to-head. And, you know, a win like the win that Phil took at Parker is obviously going to do very, very well considering strength of field and how many entries and all that. But yeah, as a matter of fact, for my number three, I am going to go back to St. Louis. And like you said, he is who we thought he was going to be. But after the past few years, man, Ken Roczen being off the top step of the podium indoors for 3 years, that had to be just an incredibly special victory for him. Obviously, last year he came so, so close, but Cooper Webb nipped him at the line in one of those victories that really propelled Cooper's championship. But, you know, Ken Roczen returning to form, taking that victory in St. Louis, he has the monkey off his back now. You know, now there isn't that kind of, oh, but you haven't won a race yet. You haven't won a race yet. You know, that nagging, whether it's doubt, whether it's frustration, that's all gone. So now we've got Ken Roczen going to A2, you know, with a clear mind, with a fresh mindset, with momentum. And, you know, it'll be interesting. We might see Barcia and Roczen kind of be the two guys that battle it out based on what we've seen so far this year. You know, some of the traditional names, the Cooper Webbs now, the Eli Tomacs, they haven't gotten off to that hot start that, you know, some of us may have thought that they would. So we'll see if the cream rises to the top or if it already has.
Yeah. And, you know, I regretfully can't say that I've got Ken Roczen on my list. And, you know, and that's nothing taking away his performance. I think it's amazing that he's back. You know, he's battled through some crazy injuries. Just when you thought he was ready to go, he'd get injured again. Hopefully this is a year that we see Roczen 100% healthy, because I think that battle we're going to see atop the leaderboard in Supercross is going to be pretty wild. But for that, though, for my number three, I am going to head to the Dakar Rally, and I am going to go with American driver Casey Curry, who has also been on the show countless times. But, you know, Casey is he's one of those guys. He's very diverse. I mean, he's world champion in short course. I mean, he's, you know, he's gone and he does King of the Hammer stuff. He does Jeep stuff now. You know, he does some desert racing. You know, now he, you know, he's doing Dakar Rally. I know he was in Morocco last year, kind of doing a tune-up to Dakar. But for the Americans to come in the side-by-side series, obviously we had Mitch Guthrie Jr. and Blade Hildebrand in that same division as well. But Curry, to take a victory from Americans, I mean, it is so, so hard to win at Dakar in any division. I got to give a lot of props to Casey Curry, and I had to have him at number three on my list.
Well, that's interesting, Jim, because I've actually got Casey Curry at number two. And that leaves, I have one name left, obviously, to reveal, and you've got two. And I'm wondering who I might have left off. And I have a sneaking suspicion as to who it is, but you know, yeah, like you said, obviously a great performance from Casey. I mean, I was able to speak with him about a month, month and a half ago, just about his preparation and everything. And he said, you know, look, like, yeah, last year we had fourth place. I'm disappointed with that. I feel that I can win. You know, we've done the races. We've done the prep work. I'm, you know, at the time he wasn't totally feeling 100% about the car yet, but he had listed out the changes that needed to be made for him to feel that way. And clearly they were working because he spent so much of that rally in the lead. You know, I think he first took it at stage three, lost it briefly, regained it, and kind of held it the whole way out and had one of the biggest wins on time this year, a little over 39 minutes. So a very impressive performance from Casey Curry and, you know, a well-deserved first victory for the Americans in the SSV category, you know, for sure, which is a category that, based on him, based on Mitch Guthrie, based on Blake Hildebrand, based on Seth Quintero, once he's old enough to run that event, I think it's a category that Americans are going to dominate for years to come.
Yeah, you know, and I think it's going to cause, at least, you know, in side-by-side, it's going to cause the rest of the world to step their game up, because I think Americans made a statement there. We haven't ever really, you know, A.J. Jones is in that category as well. Can't leave A.J. Jones out, another American contingent there. But, you know, side-by-side category, I think that, that's one the Americans are going to stake claim to and make the rest of the world kind of step up their game. Moving to number two on my list, though, I've got to go with another American driver. Or rider, I should say, Ricky Brabec, taking home the victory in the hotly contested motorcycle division. And, you know, motorcycle division in Dakar, I mean, it's just as special as the car and truck division. And, you know, some of the most iconic names in all of Dakar history have got their start on motorcycles before shifting into the four-wheel vehicles. But Ricky Brabec, I mean, you know, doing it for Honda, put an end to the 18 years KTM has pretty much dominated the rally. He became the first ever American champion of the Dakar rally, which, you know, only was very shortly lived until Casey Curry crossed the finish line. And then we had two American champions of the Dakar rally. But Ricky Brabec, an amazing run in, you know, one of the absolute toughest divisions in the Dakar rally. And, you know, you can sit for, you know what I mean, for 14 days, you know, 2 weeks basically in a, you know, in a car and truck or in a side-by-side and, you know, and it's tough. But do the same thing on a motorcycle, that is just infinitely, you know, many times harder. So Ricky Brabec, I've got to have him on my list this week at number two.
Well, call me baffled, Jim, because Ricky Brabec is my number one for everything that you just described. I mean, I can't even fathom doing 14 minutes on a motorcycle out in the dunes of Saudi Arabia, much less 14 days. So, you know, certainly well-deserved and, you know, also the defending Mint 400 champion. So it has been a fantastic past 12 months for him. He certainly made up for last year's mechanical DNF while he was in the lead, you know, more than did that, took that Mint 400 victory, you know, really focused and prepared for this race and led it pretty much the whole way. So, you know, a very well-deserved triumph and certainly, Ricky had his vengeance on the Dakar this year, no doubt. But now I'm real interested, Jim, because I have no idea who your number one is going to be.
Well, I think there's really only one person that I could have had on my number one, and that's Carlos Sainz, who, you know, took the car and truck category, I guess the car category, I call it car and truck, but in his X-Raid Mini at Dakar. But, you know, I think this is something really, really special. You know, he's 57 years old. Most people are retired by then. I mean, and here he is, took his third career Dakar victory overall, which is absolutely insane for anybody, but he's 57. And then to top it off, I mean, he's a two-time world rally champion who made the switch to Rally Raid after he retired from being one of the greats in the World Rally Championship. And I think because of the era he competed in the WRC, you know, and his teammate, you know, was Colin McRae, I think sometimes his performances were kind of overshadowed and a lot of people kind of forgot about it. But I got to tell you, after, you know, winning two WRC championships, winning three Dakar rallies overall. He's 57 years old. I mean, I think he's going to go down as one of the all-time motorsport greats. Like, to me, that victory that just happened, that puts him, that elevates him. He went from one of the best of all time to literally he is in the GOAT conversation. And like, you know, and like I said, the guy's 57. That is insane to put your body through 2 weeks of hell at 57 years old. And that's not taking anything away from him. That's just fact. I mean, for him to be at this level at this point in his career, it's just absolutely remarkable. To me, this victory, you know, by Sainz was just, like I said, it puts him up there. I think to me that puts him up there with names like Michael Schumacher and Dale Earnhardt. And, you know, the list can go on of some of the all-time greats of motorsport.
No doubt. And don't forget Stefan Peterhansel, you know, even within the Dakar infrastructure where, you know, Stefan is one, I think, more than a dozen of them. You know, certainly a very impressive performance by Carlos. You know, no doubt. It just, for me, God, like we talked about, like we went off with, there is so much depth in January motorsport that, you know, if you were just a couple of pavement series race fans, you would have no idea about. But for you to put a number one on there that I couldn't even squeeze on my list because of what I was watching and what I was focused on, man, that really says something about everything that's going on right now. It has been a big month, and with more Supercross, with the Chili Bowl still ahead, with, you know, multiple desert races coming up, and then even once all that's done, we start heading into Daytona. We start heading into, you know, all sorts of things. It's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great year in racing, whether it's two wheels or four, whether it's pavement or dirt. You know, I am excited.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and all that being said, we're going to have to cut to a break. But, you know, like you said, I mean, there's guys we haven't even mentioned. It's because we kind of took a break over the holidays. But Elias Ishuel in Snowcross, he's destroying the field. And, you know, we're going to get to that. We got Winter X Games coming up. We got snow bikes and, you know, and freestyle to talk about there. It's going to be a wild, wild January here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And we'll be back with more right after this. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome one of my very, very good friends, I would say a motorsports broadcasting legend, my good friend Rob D'Amico, who, Rob, I feel like this is kind of like Twilight Zone-ish. I know when I was just getting started, I was calling into your show, and now all of a sudden you're calling into this one. But I guess the big thing is you are back on radio, my friend, and I think there's a lot of fans out there excited about that.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too, man. Hey, thanks for having me on, first of all. You know, it was about a year or so ago, I got, and I don't know how to explain it. It was an accident, sick, whatever it was. I had this problem, and I'll explain what it is here in a second, but I was in and out of the hospital, couldn't figure out what was going on. I wasn't sure what happened. Come to find out, what I had was a vertebral artery dissection with a pseudoaneurysm. Basically, it's, you have four arteries that go to your brain. I'm sorry, two come through your neck and two go through your spine into your brain. And basically, I pulled one of those out of the back of my brain. And luckily, like a guy, I don't know what it was. I did not have a stroke, didn't have any problems, but I had severe headaches. My sight was in and out. It was crazy. But come to find out, a lot of rest, a lot of time away from work. And that's where I kind of got disconnected with the radio show and the podcasting and all that stuff. But I'm all clear and back in the game and loving every minute of it, and totally miss it, man. There's no doubt. You know, racing, once it's in your blood, it is in there forever.
Yeah, well, and, you know, you weren't even you're kind of like me. You're not just a host, man. You used to drive, Mustangs and things like that. So you spent quite a bit of time behind the wheel in addition to talking about what's happening behind the wheel.
Yeah, unfortunately, no longer can I do that. With this injury I have, I'm not allowed to race cars, race go-karts. I can't go on roller coasters. I can't, you know, anything that can jar the neck. I am not allowed to do. Even driving's a little risky for me, but obviously I have to do it for my day job. But, you know, it's one of those things that, yeah, man, I used to love being in it. You know, not only talked about the game, but you're in the game. And that makes a difference because you know the ins and outs of the business. You know, you have the connections to go back. You have, and sponsorship's a big thing. And you're shaking hands and kissing babies and you're there. It makes a big difference. And, you know, being out of that for a little while, it definitely hurt. But I'm back. Just can't do some of the same things I used to be able to do. But I found other ways to get that fixed. One of them, and I know you're involved in this, is iRacing. I love getting online and racing in the – and I know that was a big conversation on Twitter and, you know, social media over the last week, and people saying that it's not real racing, it's not this. My opinion is hey, this is – it's a lot of fun. Is it real racing? No, in the sense of, hey, I'm not working on a car. I don't, you know, I don't have to build this thing. I'm taking it to a racetrack every week. But that being said, you are setting up cars. You are learning the tracks. You are the difference is when they say, hey, that guy, when they call them race car drivers, that's where I have a little bit of an issue. Even being a guy who races on iRacing, I'm not a race car driver. I mean, I have done it before in the real world, but virtually it's not, I can't call that a race car driver. I can call it a racer. I get on and race, but a race car driver is a little bit different to me. And I can see some of the points on some of these guys that are arguing it, but man, I will say one thing. It is a ton of fun and it's a blast to be a part of that. And I love every minute of it.
Well, you know, and I think that's what's funny because a lot of real-world drivers, I mean, they spend time in the sims for years, NASCAR, IndyCar, Formula One drivers, you know, that's something that now, like, but that technology was so inaccessible to everybody else. You know, that those sim rigs were just uber expensive. The software was expensive. iRacing was kind of the first to really, you know, and arcade video games have been around for a long time, arcadey, but, you know, they were the first to really bring it to the masses, you know, and really get you know, young talent a chance to get behind the wheel and see what, you know, some of these veterans have been doing in the sims. And I think that's what's cool. And now, you know, with iRacing, we've got, you know, their premier series. I mean, you've got guys like Dale Jr., Roush Fenway, JGR, I mean, Woods Brothers, you know, the list goes on. And I mean, you've got some heavy, heavy hitters involved in sim racing now in esports. I mean, it's kind of rad to see. And then, you know, six figures for some of the winners. I mean, it's become a real, real thing in motorsport.
You forgot one of the bigger teams, the Jim Beaver Esports.
Yeah. Well, I almost feel – I feel like kind of weird putting my name in – you know, I look at these just iconic names, and then it's like, yeah, I don't know how it fit in there. But we definitely have a lot of fun with it. I know my team's actually racing in the 24 Hours of Daytona this weekend in sim racing. So we'll see how that winds up. But I know talking about motorsport, there's – I mean, we got Chili Bowl coming up, obviously 24 Hours of Daytona, Daytona 500 coming up. I know just recently, just literally a couple hours ago, our good friend Kelly Crandall at Racer Magazine dropped some interesting news. I don't know if you caught it, Rob, but I've been saying this for years, but Xfinity this year is actually going to be running the road course at Indianapolis Motor Speedway. As a support to the Brickyard 400, I've thought they ought to alternate years with the Brickyard and run the 400 1 year, road course the other. But it looks like Roger Penske, now owner of IMS, switching things up. What do you think about seeing NASCARs there on the road course?
I think it's awesome. I love road racing, you know, and this kind of goes back to the first question you asked me about, you know, in iRacing and the racing being expensive back in the day. I've been a member of iRacing since 2009, and that was the first thing I got into it. I loved it. I was having a hard time transitioning because I was new into racing those Mustangs and getting on the real world experience. I was so new to it. I started late. I didn't get in a go-kart or anything until I was almost 30 years old. So I was late in the game. So I had a hard time even adjusting into the virtual world and getting on these gaming systems and doing that. Been a member since 2009. Made the transition, you know, first I went into the karting and real, you know, race cars and then into the iRacing stuff. But what I think they're doing here with the road racing in NASCAR, to me, it's right down my alley, man. I love that type of racing. I hope that the track and these cars, because you see back when Formula One was there or IndyCar, when they used the road course before the 500, it puts on a good show. I just hope these cars are able to do that. They also made some news, NASCAR did, about changing the technical side of these cars and taking away some of the downforce and shortening the spoiler in the back and shrinking down the splitter in the front at road courses and short tracks. So I think that's going to be big that they have to handle these cars, and the driver will have to definitely drive the car more with the gas pedal. Which I think is great. You know, we always talk about these guys, you know, it's super speedways, the, you know, Daytona 500 and Talladega, you mash the gas and you just go. And you hope to stay out of the big one. That's the big thing in those races. And don't get me wrong, they're exciting and they create that edge of your seat racing because you never know, you're on that ticking time bomb when something can happen like that. But to see this, and I agree with you, man, I'd love to see the cup cars doing the road course there at Indy and maybe at other places. There are plenty of great road racing tracks around the country that they can do this on. I just hope they do pick up more of that. Unfortunately, I think NASCAR's in a situation, you know, with trying to shorten some of these races and maybe looking at the schedule coming up in 2022. I think there are going to be some of the big changes you see when that new car comes out, the one they're testing now. I think they have a Homestead test coming up here shortly. But I know Joey Logano was in that car with Team Penske. This is a car that the RCR guys built for this, and they'll be doing this, over the next couple of months and trying to gather as much information. So when they come to these tracks, they know, okay, this one does this great. They race awesome here. There's tight racing at this track. And I think that's what they're trying to do is get the racing to the next level. And I hope they do that because it's definitely needed in the world of NASCAR.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I completely agree with everything you said there. And I think it's interesting, too. You'd mentioned earlier, you know, talking about taking some downforce out of the cars, you know, making it more of a driver's type of thing. And I think it's funny because for the longest time, you know, it was IndyCar chasing NASCAR, and they still very much are. But, I know IndyCar with this latest IndyCar, you know, they took a lot of downforce out, made it more of a driver's series. And it almost feels like NASCAR's looking at that going, yeah, it's worked for IndyCar. Maybe we need to make these cars a little bit tougher to drive, you know?
Yeah, and that's, you know, they've made this, that statement before, and then they've, you know, going even back to the car of tomorrow and the car that's, you know, they're currently using now and the different size splitters and you know, the spoilers on the back and the air inlets and, you know, just there's so many different things on these cars that they can change. I think NASCAR is just trying to narrow it down again, because it got out of control with the teams and, you know, the Twisted Sister car that we had that was mangled and twisted. And now with this body, it goes through a laser, you know, at the racetrack, and that's how they inspect the cars. And I think that's great. The sport is definitely, the technology is there. Let's use it. You know, for the longest time, we didn't even have we had carburetors, which is, you know, so obsolete now. That and what I think is going to be great with this new car, you know, the bigger rims, the shorter tire, low profile tires. It's things you see on your daily car, and that needs to translate what better with a stock car. Now, is the car actually a stock car? No, the bodies are, you know, much different. Chassis are built much different. But that being said, they are getting it closer. They are trying to make this closer racing. They are trying to put the racing back in the driver's hands again, where, you know, you're not just driving around with a car that sticks to the racetrack. You now have to maneuver it and know how to drive it, finesse it, making these passes and things like that. So it's important for NASCAR to make these changes. What's more important than anything else right now, and I know a lot of fans have struggled with this, but they literally have to change the economics of the sport on the team owner side. They can't be spending this type of money if they're going to try to make this successful, because the, you know, money buys speed. We get all that, but man, it is getting out of hand. And these teams, if they can't compete at that level, they're going to fall off, and then we're not going to have the teams, and we're going to have these crappy small one car team things coming in here and making a mess of the sport and bringing in, you know, Bob's Super Garage as sponsors. And it's just not going to have the same feel anymore. If we want to make this a great series, they need to fix the economics of this sport and do it quickly.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you there. And, you know, I think we got to jump to a short commercial break here. But, you know, I think it's one of those that I've noticed, and I think fans have noticed, you've noticed it. But used to be, you know, you'd have a sponsor and they'd be year long. You know, you could count on the Jimmy Johnson Lowe's cars or the Jeff Gordon DuPont car or whoever's car. You know what I mean? And now, you know, that's the thing in the past. It's alternating sponsors. And, you know, even NASCAR can't even find, you know, one series sponsor for the whole thing, and they've got to split it up, you know. And I'm not saying that's good or bad. I'm just saying the economics have definitely changed the sport. But we've got to take a short commercial break, and we come back more with Rob D'Amico here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert, dunes, or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Ah, see, I slipped up. It's the General Tire Down and Dirty Show. General Tire stepping on board as our title sponsor this year. Slipped up there, but we got Rob D'Amico on the show. And Rob, we've kind of been talking a little bit about some NASCAR news and kind of where things are headed. But I know before we get to the Daytona 500, we got a couple of big ones. You know, first and foremost, Chili Bowl. And then we've got the 24 hours of Daytona. But Chili Bowl, man, I mean, does anybody have anything for Christopher Bell? I mean, you tell me, Rob. I got to say, I'm kind of a passive sprint car fan. I follow it just enough to kind of know what's going on. But C. Bell, yeah. It seems like C. Bell and Chili Bowl, dude, they're on lock.
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've never been a big dirt racing guy. I don't know why. I never got really into it. I did follow it quite a bit when I was doing work with Speed and all that, the sprint cars and the winged and non-winged and all that stuff, and even some of the stuff they raced on pavement. But these guys out here, you know, you got Tony Stewart, Kyle Larson, just some of the big names that are out there. But the guys that are really the superstars are the guys that from your local tracks and travel with the circuit and racing four times a week. Those guys are the badasses of the sport, right? But you get a guy like Christopher Bell, who's done this before and has been there and done all that, is coming back and just being a superstar out there. Just shows his driving ability, what he is, what he can be. My issue with him is obviously he's making the move from the Xfinity Series up to the Cup Series, and he's going to be racing with the Levine family racing, but in conjunction with kind of the JGR and the Toyotas and things like that. But that's my thing, is that he's coming into the sport at that level, the Cup level, with a team that's really not going to be able to give him everything that he needs. Now, if he was to jump in with Joe Gibbs Racing and go right from there, awesome, man. That would be great. Be great for his career. But maybe they're just trying to get him into that stepping stone, because the next year, or this year, I should say, it is 2020 already. The rookie class is spectacular. Cole Custer moving up from the Xfinity Series. Tyler Reddick, the champion from the Xfinity Series. Christopher Bell, these guys, those were the top three guys in the Xfinity Series moving up and now going to be in the Cup Series. That is something to watch. So now you get to see Christopher Bell, the Chili Bowl, obviously has an opportunity to win there. That would be cool for him. But to go into the Daytona 500 and the Cup Series and season and race for that rookie, I don't know if it's going to be as successful as it was for him in Xfinity and dirt racing, the Chili Bowl and all that, because of the team he's with. But we'll have to see. We never know.
Yeah. Well, and here's a question, you know, and this is just something that, you know, kind of popped into my mind as you're telling, you know, you're talking about this young crop of NASCAR drivers coming in. And I mean, do you think we're ever going to see these guys with these long careers that go into their mid-40s or 50 years old in Cup? Because I feel like there's so many young guns, and we talk about all these guys coming up, and then I can tell you right behind them, I mean, you've got Zane Smith, Riley Herbst, Haley Deegan, you know, that are a couple of years away from running Cup, you know what I mean? And it's like there's always mm-hmm. this young crop of talented drivers, you know, coming in, and I feel like, you know, where those, you know, we used to see those long 20, 30-year careers at times, you know? I don't know that we're going to see those again, Rob. I think it's going to get shortened down to almost like, you know, 10, 15-year careers maybe at the peak level, you know?
Yeah, it's also a timing thing. So you got guys like Kevin Harvick, who is – he could be racing a few more years, but he's getting up there, right? He's got to retire. Somebody's got to take his place. You want to be that guy. It's almost like coming out of the college, you know, like these quarterbacks now that are – you know, figuring out, okay, when is this guy going to come out? The teams start talking to the quarterbacks. We're going to, you know, we'll get you in this draft coming out here. So, you know, in your senior year, your junior year, you know, when you make yourself eligible to go into the NFL. Same thing with these guys. When do they start making that move? Okay, I want to be in Xfinity here because this gives me the opportunity. Because you get guys like, you know, go back to Elliott Sadler, who moved up, but then had to move back down. You know, there's a couple of guys that race with Junior Motorsports that does the same thing. Allgaier, you know, moved up, but had to move back down. You know, it just timing wasn't right. And I feel like some of these guys end up in that weird situation. David Ragan was one of those guys. Great race car driver. Just never really got the opportunity with the right team and the right time. And it just didn't work out. And you have to, you know, go back. That's the problem. And you have guys like Truex, you know, Jimmy Johnson. You know, I think Chase is going to be one of those guys that has a long career, got with the right team, going to be there for a while, you know, can make his moves when it's his time to do that and use it to, you know, negotiate the right contract for him, whether it's the life contract at the same team or, hey, I'm going to go over here and make some more money, you know, that kind of thing. It all depends, and it's a timing thing, and sometimes that's sucks for drivers because they are talented. And let's not kid ourselves. We talk about a Christopher Bell or a Tyler Reddick or, you know, Cole Custer. These guys have got the talent and are moving up. Even go John Nemechek and some of the drivers, Haley Deegan that you mentioned, just some of those drivers. There are probably, when you mention those drivers, another 100 drivers out there that have the same skills and probably do just as great as they can, but will never get the opportunity to do so. So that's it. It's a timing thing, right place, who you know, moving up at the right times when this guy's going to move to this team, puts an opening here. You just never know, and you try to plan it as best you possibly can, but sometimes it does not work out for you.
Yeah. So, you know,
I think that's the story of my life.
Right place at the right time. I got to tell you, that is so true in just about anything, you know. You can start looking at the NFL and, you know, even a guy like Tom Brady has become one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. People forget about, you know, he replaced Drew Bledsoe, who had an amazing career and just got injured. And Brady was in the right place, right time as a backup quarterback in the right system. And boom, here we go. And nobody even remembers Drew Bledsoe, you know. But the timing had to be right. But, you know, speaking of timing, 24 hours of Daytona, I know that one's coming up, man. You've actually got some personal friends running in this thing. I feel like, you know, in Europe, you know, Le Mans is huge, right? And I feel like, you know, endurance racing, IMSA, I feel like, you know, this is the one big marquee event of the year. And you know, I know, you know, they run Long Beach, they run Petit Le Mans. There's all these different events, but I feel like Sebring, you know, but I feel like this is the one where it really puts endurance racing at the forefront in this country, Rob.
Yeah, I agree with you, man. And this is one of the races. And if people don't know, my day job, I work for the Big Green Egg, and we have a lot of what we call eggheads. A lot of these guys, Ricky Taylor, Jordan Taylor, Juan Pablo Montoya, you have Ryan Briscoe, you have Ryan Hunter Ray, Richard Westbrook, all these guys own eggs. So I got to know these guys on a personal level, and a lot of them will be out there racing, you know. Jordan left his father's team, Wayne Taylor Racing, now racing that brand new Corvette, which looks killer. I love that. And I'm not a Corvette guy, but damn, that car looks good. And then you have Ricky, who used to be with his dad's team as well. And Ricky Taylor moved over with Penske and is racing with Juan Pablo Montoya over there and a couple of those drivers racing with the Acuras. So a lot of cool things going on. That's the storyline there, is that you have the different manufacturers, the teams, you're racing for 24 hours. Now, I've done a 24-hour race in go-karts, and I got to tell you, man, it is tough. You try to get sleep, you can't sleep, you're up all night, you know, the fatigue, you go through night and day. We even had rain, and I'm sure there's a possibility for that in the forecast there as well. It is Florida. You know, if it's not raining, give it an hour, it should be. But, you know, it's just one of those things. That's the cool thing about this, is that you have all the different variables, and then you have to have the car that lasts 24 hours. And back in the day, that was a lot more difficult than it is now. Now the parts are stronger and things last, and they're still testing things and trying to throw things at the car that may or may not work and fail during that 24 hours. Got to come in. Never give up, though, man. You've had these races go 24 hours, and you're talking split seconds at the finish. How cool is that? And that's pretty neat, to be that competitive for that long with the different drivers and all the variables that go into that race.
Yeah, you know, and one thing I always like too is we've got, you know, these guys that have made a home in endurance racing, you know, and obviously, like, even big known guys like Gila Castroneves is, you know, is kind of found a second home there. You've got, you know, the Taylors, like you'd mentioned. I got a good friend, Colin Braun, who's, you know, made a career out of endurance racing. But, you know, all that being said, this is the one where you get the guys like Alexander Rossi come in, and I think Ryan Hunter Ray is going to be running. And, you know, like you said, this is the one where it's kind of like an all-star shootout battle royale, because you got to have, you know, so many guys on a team to run 24 hours. I guess that's what I like. You get these guys that, you know, maybe endurance racing isn't quite in their element, but they're good road racers. And then you get to see them come in, and it's like, I just feel like, you know, it's a list of who's who in motorsport, you know. I mean, Alonso's come in, and it's just, to me, that's what makes that event so special, is just, you know, just the fanfare that comes along with it. And everybody's favorites from all these other series, you know, NASCAR and IndyCar, everybody like converging right there at Daytona. I think it's, you know, it's something we don't get even in Le Mans and, you know, in Europe.
You know, it's cool, you know, even going back in history, this is, you mentioned some of the guys that come over and race from different other sanctioning bodies and, you know, all across the world will come over here and race with this. Kyle Busch is actually racing with Lexus. You have Haley. She's going to be racing with, I believe it is, God, what was the guy's name? Chase Briscoe. She'll be racing one of the Ford Mustangs over there in one of the lower series, but we'll be out there racing. And that's cool, man. That's what this is all about. And I go back to, you know, Mario Andretti, AJ Foyt. These guys, they can jump and sit in any car and be competitive. I would love to see that again, where these racers of today can go and jump in these other rides. And, you know, the Christopher Christopher Bell, Tony Stewart. This guy, multiple champions in multiple series. How cool is that, man? We haven't seen that in a while. I'd love to see them do that and be those champions in those different series, because that was what was cool about back in the day, the history part of it. A lot of people go, oh, the racing was much better back in the day. Hell no, it wasn't. It wasn't as competitive. The racing back then, guys were winning two laps ahead of the second place car. To me, that is not racing. What we have today is great racing. You can go that 24 hours and have a split second 1-2 finish or 1-2-3 finish, which is really cool over that amount of talent. I just would like to see more drivers from different series coming in and being that competitive when they're out there racing. That's cool to me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And it's funny you mention that, because I'm the same way. And there's still these people that go, Champ Car, that was the best, kart, and this and that. And I'm like, it was so much better in IndyCar Day. I'm like, have you watched an IndyCar race? It's amazing racing. I'm like, I remember back then there was Newman and Haas, and there was Penske. And other than that, there was a few others, but I'm like, those races were actually rather boring,
Nowadays they're much closer, more competitive. Even some of the smaller teams can get in there. And that's what I think NASCAR needs to work on too, is some of the smaller teams being able to compete. Cause right now there is those handful of teams, the big, the Roushes, the RCRs, the Penske's, the Hendrick, that kind of the Chip Ganassi's. They're the big teams. And obviously they have more money and they have more speed, but you get every now and then where, it's a Talladega or one of the short tracks where the smaller team has a chance. It's a very small chance, but they have a chance. And that's, that's the cool story. It's the Goliath and David and David and Goliath stories, where these little teams can make a difference. But yeah, being more competitive nowadays is much better than what they had back in the day.
Yeah, for sure. Well, Rob, we are up against the time break for the second segment, man. But I know you and I are going to be kind of doing this weekly here, kind of talking all things motorsports. So I am definitely looking forward to it. I know you got some stuff cranking on your end too, where you're going to be doing some of your own stuff as well. So looking forward to those to start up, man.
Yeah, so that'll be coming up here shortly. We'll be doing my own show again, back on it. For right now, we're doing some stuff with you and getting ready for the season. We'll do my own show. I'll have the website, which is going to be up and running here shortly. But you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. It's all at Rob D'Amico, R-O-B-D-A-M-I-C-O. Jim, always a pleasure, man. I'm glad you're doing so well, and I appreciate the time today.
Yeah, no problem. Always fun having you on, Rob. And we will be back after this on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com, or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty radio show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my next guest, off-roader turned drifter, Amanda Sorensen. How's everything going, Amanda?
It's going good.
I think last time you and I actually caught up in person, I've talked to your dad on the phone a few times, but it was like a few years ago out of Del Mar, and you guys were like, we were racing in an arena or something, and you were shredding your UTV out there, and I remember like there was this one jump, and I swear you were like the only person going to flat. Like you were just sending it off this tabletop over the backside, like jumping to flat. It was the craziest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, I think I was 14 then? I'm 17 now, so that was like 3 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a while ago. And that being said, a lot has definitely changed on your end. You kind of came up through the off-road ranks and made the switch to drifting. I mean, tell us how that kind of happened, because I think everybody kind of knew you as like a UTV racer. I know you did mod carts, things like that. And then all of a sudden it was like, boom, you and your brother both kind of switched. How has that been? And how did you actually make that transition? Because, I mean, we see guys like, Vaughn Gittin Jr. Now he's kind of transitioning into off-road. Not a lot of people going the other direction like you did.
Yeah, well, I was racing in 2017. I was racing the side-by-side class in the work series. And then we ran into an age issue with my brother. So we were like, okay, well, we'll take a break until he's old enough. So I had a friend. He actually runs an off-road experience here in town, but he also does drifting. And he's like, hey, Amanda, you want to take my car out? And I was like, sure. I mean, why not? So I took his car out to a local event, and matter of fact, my brother was actually somewhere on the East Coast, so it was just me and my dad who went out, and I was like, oh yeah, this is really fun, and I told my brother about it, and him and my mom went and drifted their Camaro that they had as a rental car, and my brother was like, that's no fair, I want to do it. So then when he got back, we went out, and we went drifting, and we just kind of like, once we tried it, we loved it. It was like, it was fun. It's definitely different than the off-road, that's for sure. But as of right now, I'm the youngest licensed female in Formula Drift, so I have my Pro 2 license, and my brother's the youngest licensed male.
All that being said, too, I know it's quite a bit different, because I've tried to drift before, and then I've actually done some stuff with Ryan Turk, riding along with him, and I got to tell you, like, sliding an off-road car and sliding a drift car, completely two different things, and like, Formula Drift, like, it's so, like, it's controlled chaos, like, it's so crazy that you can just place the car in, I don't know. It's just nuts to me. Like, how has that been kind of gaining that car control? Because it's a complete different driving experience than what you were used to in off-road.
Well, I mean, honestly, like racing the Lucas Oil Series with the mod carts, we go over those jumps and we throw the cars in sideways. The only difference is now you're not worrying about ruts and you're not worrying about flipping. But also on top of that, we do tandems, which is when you have two cars and one follows, the other one leads. And you're like right up as close as you can with each other, just mirror images.
Yeah, and that's always been kind of rad, especially when you see a really close run and things like that, and they're both just drifting in tandem. It makes it rad. But I know How so? You've got your Pro 2 license, and I know, you know, it's one of the things the ladder system, Formula D, you know, they've got a pretty rad ladder system. I know they've even in the past done some stuff out at Irwindale where it's just kind of like a local, like a drift night type of thing. But how did you kind of work up the ranks to get your Pro 2 license? Because, you know, getting a Pro 2 license isn't easy. And then, I mean, obviously going all the way to, you know, FD license, you know, full blown, I don't quite know what it's called, but I know that's even a step further. But how'd you get to this point?
So there are different levels of drifting, yes. It starts at grassroots, which is just like anybody can go out and drift. Really, anyone can take their mom's car for all they care. And then that's just kind of more like where you go play around, have fun, practice. And then following grassroots, there's Pro-Am. So the Pro-Am series, there's certain requirements that you have to have for your car. You go in, you sign up, and there's usually about like 4 to 5, depending on what series you're in, but competitions within that series. And you have to place 1st, 2nd, or 3rd in the championship to move up to your Pro 2 license. Or you can also petition into Pro or into Formula Drift, which some people do, like people coming from out of state series, they'll petition into Formula Drift and be like, hey, look, this is my racing background. Do you think I'm good enough? And they'll say yes, or they'll say no. But how I did it, well, so also on top of that, my brother, Brandon, he was, we did this, there was a one time in however many years that they do this, and it's a double elimination bracket where you have your winner's bracket, and then if you lose in the winner's bracket, you go to the loser's bracket, and you basically have to be, you have to lose twice in order to be out. And so it was the one-time event where they're going to give away a Pro 2 license to the top 3 finishers. And it's actually really funny because it was our rookie year, and, like, nobody ever really heard of us. We drove all the way to Virginia, and I'm out of Las Vegas. And we showed up at this event, and it was like, if you get 1st, 2nd, or 3rd, you get your Pro 2 license. But the way it works is there's no qualifying. So you pretty much go, you have your lead run, then you have your follow run. They choose who wins or loses. But my brother was in the winner's bracket. About halfway up, he got knocked out into the loser's bracket. And he won all the way to the loser's bracket, went all the way to the top of the loser's bracket. And in order to win, you have to beat the winner in the winner's bracket twice. So he beat everyone in the loser's bracket and then beat the winner twice in the winner's bracket, and he actually got 1st place and got his Pro 2 license, which was pretty cool. But me, on the other hand, I was like, well, if my brother's going to do Pro 2, I might as well do Pro 2. I competed in the Pro-Am series, the Drift League, and there's 4 events total. My first event, I had a brand new car. I was thrown at it because my first year, my brother and I shared a car. We had just like we call it our beater car now. This car is like the most toughest car, has been through so many walls, has been like, and it's still standing, and it's so tough. But we shared our car for the first year, and so I didn't really get much seat time, and I was more about the UTVs at the time. I was like, hey, I'm still going to go race works. I'm still going to go do UTVs, and my brother was all about the drifting. And then as soon as my brother got his car, I got the beater car. And I was like, okay. But, like, the beater car wasn't really enough to keep up with the other cars. And so we built me a car in 2018. Yeah, in 2018. We built my car, and my first event was, like, my first time driving this car, my first competition. And I went out, didn't really do so good. Like, my car wasn't set up at all. And then the first 2 events, we were still playing with car setup. And then my 3rd event, I actually ended up getting 3rd place, and then my 4th event, I think I finished 6th in points in the series, and there's about like 30 drivers total. But I basically went to FD and I was like, hey, my brother's driving, this is my background, and they're like, okay, you can compete in Pro 2. So I got my Pro 2 license. But on top of that, I also ran into another gig where I'm driving monster trucks now. So
I saw that.
It's always been a dream of mine to drive in Monster Jam. And I was like, when I was given this opportunity, I was like, yes, I'll drive. But unfortunately, you have to be 18 to drive for Monster Jam, and I'm only 17. So I've been waiting a few years. Hopefully by the time of 2021, I'll be in Monster Jam. But as of right now, I'm driving for Craig Christensen. He used to drive Max D, and he has like 4 trucks. And so one of his trucks are going to be my truck for the year. And I have my body wrap on it. 2&2, one of my sponsors, are all sponsoring it, and we named it Boiling Point. So that's also
something that
I stepped into.
Yeah, that's going to be a blast just sending it in those big old trucks, right?
Yes, it is actually really fun. I don't think I get an adrenaline rush in anything like I do a monster truck. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool too because Monster Jam, I mean, we've got a lot of amazing women in motorsport and things like that, but they've really embraced like this women's movement, really bringing a lot of rad women into the fold, into Monster Jam and things like that. So that's got to have you excited because, you know, there's doors kind of opening there all the time for women.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
But so for this year, I actually got a trophy truck too. So we've been building a trophy truck the past year while competing in FD. So I have a few things that I've been working on. Last year was just a mixture of everything. Like I was competing in Formula Drift. We did all 4 events across the United States. So we started in Orlando, then we went to Atlanta, then St. Louis, and did one more.
Yeah, because Pro 2 runs a little bit different schedule than FD, right? Some of the events are the same, but it's not quite as big of a schedule, right?
Well, it's so Pro 2 actually has 4 events, and then Pro 1 has 7, I believe, 7 or 8. And so the Pro 2 and Pro 1 are always at the same event, same place, same weekend, just they have Pro 2 only 4 events instead of the other.
Yeah, well, and then with all this drifting stuff going on, so correct me if I'm wrong, like, you took Haley Deegan for some ride-alongs, right?
Oh, yeah, her and Cole Keats were out at Willow Springs. They were doing some legend car practice, I think, and she came over, she's like, hey, like, let me get a ride in your drift car, and I was like, oh, but me and Haley, we used to race mod cars together, so we've known each other.
I was going to say, yeah, you know each other for a while. Yeah, you guys used to bang doors with each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Awesome. So this season, you said you guys are building a trophy truck. So how's that thing coming along? What's the plans? So you're doing monster trucks. You've got a trophy truck being built. You're doing some FD stuff. What's your calendar look like this year? It's got to be kind of crazy. And, you know, what can you tell us about this trophy truck? When's it going to debut? You know, what's that looking like?
It's my schedule's definitely stacked for this year. But so my trophy truck, I was thinking about taking this year easy and like dialing the truck in. I was planning on racing the snore races, maybe trying to go for a championship in the trick truck class, and just get the truck dialed in this year. And then I know for sure I'll be racing the Mint 400. And also on top of that, I think we're going to try, my brother got his Pro 1 license, so he'll be attending the Pro 1 events this year. But I know for a fact I'm going to be doing the snore, and then I'm also thinking about getting an RS1 and just playing around in works, because I personally love the UTVs. Like, that's kind of where once I found the UTV sport, it's so much different than all the other ones, but it's where my heart's at. I love the desert races because drifting, it's like I flew all the way to Orlando and I drove like 6 times, and it's like the track is only 30 seconds long. But I love just being in the car for like an hour at a time in the desert, and everything's just so like, you never know what's happening. It's something new every time.
Yeah, well, and girls are slaying it in UTV racing. I know, obviously, you were slaying it, and, you know, and you kind of went on and started doing some other things, but it's got to have you kind of stoked to come back just seeing what all these other girls are doing and you know, just killing it out there.
Yeah, definitely. I actually attended the last round of works.
Oh, were you just there taking it all in, or did you race?
No, I raced, actually.
Oh, did you?
I literally... I think I was so overwhelmed with the whole season. I was like, I told my dad, I said, hey, Dad, on Tuesday, and the race was on Friday and Saturday, I was like, I'm going to load up my car, and I'm going to load up my little brother's car, and I'm going to take us to Prim because it's only a 45-minute drive from where I was at. And I was like, I'm racing this weekend. I miss it so much. And he's like, all right, do it. So I also have a younger brother who is 8 years old. He is getting into the 170 stuff, and he races go-karts. We've been doing some go-kart racing.
Nice.
But, yeah, we're all over the place. Like,
yeah, so what's the ultimate goal for you? Just Monster Jam? Is that where you want to be at some point, is Monster Jam?
Well, on top of that, I also attend college. So I graduated 2 years early from high school, and I'm going to college right now as a full-time student. But I don't know. I don't know what my – like, I don't know where I want to be. I know for sure this trophy truck thing I'm super stoked about, and I want to try to go for some championships in the trophy truck because I know there's only a few girls out there in the trophy trucks, which I think it's like Sarah Price and I forget the other girl's name. Yeah. But that, and then Formula Drift is going through a big change right now as far as bringing technology into the sport, because as of right now, it's a judge-based sport. And to explain it a little bit more, Formula Drift, well, all drifting, there's three judges, line, angle, and style. You have two qualifying runs. You go out, you put down your qualifying run, they judge you out of 100, and then they only take top 16. The top 16 scores go into the bracket. And so then from there you have a lead run and then you have a follow run. So say, for example, I lead, somebody else is following, we do the course. We have clipping points that we have to hit. So we have to go through the course while maintaining line, angle, and style. And the judges are judging. And then I switch. So now I'm following, someone else is leading. And then we have our run. We go through, maintain line, angle, style. And then they'll choose if I win or if the other person wins. And then sometimes they'll do it one more time and they'll have us go again. But just because it's a judge-based sport, it kind of gets on the political side sometimes. So they're working on bringing in some technology to help the judges judge more accurately. But hopefully they should have all of that stuff implemented by 2021, 2022. Nice. Which then I'll probably go back and try to go for the Pro 1 license.
Yeah, and I've been following Formula Drift for quite a while, probably about 10 years now on the show. And yeah, like you said, it's most of the time it's pretty cut and dry who wins, but on a close battle, even when they do it one more time, sometimes it gets really, really tough. So I think any technology they can bring in is definitely going to benefit the sport and make it a little more clear cut as far as winning goes, and you know, taking that that kind of personal attachment out of it. So, Well, we're up against a time break, Amanda. But I appreciate you taking the time to call in. I know you have a ton going on. I guess Mint 400 is only about a month and a half out, so maybe we'll see you out there. That's going to be exciting.
Sweet. Thank you for having me.
All right. Thanks a lot, Amanda.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound. sound of performance. Check out your next Catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right, welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Gosh, I did it one more time. The General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. So you do something for like 5 years in a row, saying it the exact same way, and then flip the script and try and say it a different way after 5 years. I'm going to have to do some media training on myself. Man, the General Tire Down and Dirty Show. General Tire, General Tire, General Tire. What do they say? You got to say it like 1,000 times before it sinks in. Powered by Polaris Razor. Anyways, thank you to General Tire and Polaris Razor for your support. Seriously, couldn't do it without you guys. Oh, that being said, any of our amazing partners in the show, Vision Wheel coming on strong, Rigid Industries, Dirtfish, GSP XTV Axles, the ultimate axles for your UTV, Gibson Exhaust, Optimus Starters, you know, RacingJunk.com, iRacing, our good friends at Acronis. We've got some amazing partners in the show, and super thankful to have them on board. Thank you guys for tuning in. Thanks to Amanda Sorensen, Rob D'Amico, and Chris Leone for the support. I know we're going to get back to a lot of guest interviews starting next week right here on the show. Trust me, we're going to start getting things off the hook. It's going to be bananas. Got some blockbuster ones lining up, and I got to tell you, it's not going to disappoint this year. Trust me. Trust me, things are just ramping up here. Hang tight. It's going to be good. But that being said, please, we got all kinds of stuff, content dropping over there on Apple Podcasts through our RSS feed. If you're not, go and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. If you're going on our website, great, downanddirtyshow.com. You can click. You can read all of the articles we're doing, all the content we're producing. You can get all of our shows. But if you want everything in one place, go over to Apple Podcasts, hit the subscribe button. What you're going to get is not only the Down and Dirty Show, this one you're listening to. You're going to get the Off-Road Edition, which is our off-road show. Then we have a new weekly drop called the Motorsports Drop. We're doing 3 times a week. We drop a 3-minute podcast that is basically all the news from the world of motorsports in 3 minutes. And that happens 3 times a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So, man, we've got a ton of content. It's all there on the iTunes feed. So go over there, smash that subscribe button. And if you do leave us a rating, it is much, much appreciated. Please leave us a rating. Also, give me a follow. It's at JimBeaver15 on social media, at Down and Dirty Show on Instagram. We've got a second Instagram account, actually third Instagram accounts, if you count all of our Jim Beaver esports stuff. We will definitely be talking esports more, pretty in-depth as time goes on, we get closer to Daytona. Because man, I got an entire team, and we're gonna assault on Daytona in esports. So just saying. Anyways, thank you guys. I know we got the Parker 425 coming up. I will be hanging out in the Vision Wheel booth at Contingency. If you're in Parker, please, swing by, say hey, say what's up. Would love to talk with you guys and meet some of the listeners of the show. And after that, I'll be at King of the Hammers. We'll actually be doing a show recorded. I can't do a live show at Hammers because the cell service is horrible. But we will be doing a recorded show out at Hammers with Polaris Razor. So super stoked on that. Looking forward to making that happen. And you know, just a whole lot more. We are cranking here, firing on all eight cylinders here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Thank you guys for the continued support. Thanks for listening for 8 years. And trust me, we got big news coming in the next couple of weeks. So hang tight. It's going to be one hell of a ride here in 2020. And yeah, we'll see you next week right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor.